hear me now?
Yeah.
That sounds like the Verizon.
Okay, there, so there was also seats closer up front too, if anyone used to be closer.
I can't, I'm going in for surgery, so if he could hold the mic, it would be helpful. Thank you.
Good luck with your surgery.
Thank you.
Okay, we have three portions of the meeting. We have basically ministerial material, which is announcements and approval of minutes. We have regular business, which are items that are sort of in process at some level. And we have concept reviews, where folks come in and they sort of draw a picture of something they're interested in trying to pursue as a project. And there's feedback from the board, suggestions, opinions, and essentially no decisions of any kind are made during that part of the meeting. So we begin with a public hearing. Now this public hearing is for the Mile Strip Road Alliance Homes project for a 23 lot single family home. And before that, we'll go through our ministerial material. And the first element being should the fire alarm sound. If you go to any doorway marked exit, if you leave by that doorway, you will see another doorway also with an illuminated exit sign that will take you out of the building and safe. Secondly, if any person appearing before the board has a family, financial, or business relationship with any member of the board, it is incumbent upon that person to make it known under state law and the town code of ethics. With respect to the minutes, we have three sets of minutes to review. There was a printing problem for the November minutes. We also had a special meeting in December that was the result of some severe weather cancellations and some delays. And we had January minutes. So I will ask members of the board if there is a need to read the minutes of any of those.
I make a motion that we waive the reading of the minutes as outlined by the chairman.
Second motion.
Motion and second. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Only ayes are heard. Reading of the minutes is waived. Are there any corrections, additions, or other modifications?
I make a motion that they be accepted as presented.
Second.
Motion and second to accept as presented. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. All the ayes are heard. Now, for the purposes of a public hearing, to assure that everyone gets an opportunity for input and that sometimes questions that might come from people who are attending the public hearing may have already been addressed by the person proposing the project, we've set up a certain kind of a protocol. So what we do is we allow the developer 10 minutes to discuss the project up to date as it is today. And then we begin the per se public hearing. In the public hearing, each person who wishes to speak has up to 4 minutes to speak. And people will have to speak either for or against. That's sort of the format of the meeting. If there's a question or a concern, don't wait until the end because there is no category called questions. So if you have a concern or a question, mention speaking either for or against the project. After we've gone through input from the public, the board will either move to close or adjourn the meeting. In the case of this particular project, there are a number of things still outstanding that need to be looked at relative to the state's State Environmental Quality Review Act. And so there will be no decision made, but the board is looking for input from interested parties to help guide its review of the project from the environmental perspective. So I will ask if there is someone here speaking for the proposed 23-lot single-family home subdivision from Alliance Homes. And if so, they will come up and update the project as to where it is at this moment, and then after 10 minutes maximum, we'll go to input from people who are here to find out more about the project. But if you could put the easel board where people can see it, that would be better. Can you tell the written tape record who we are and where you're from?
Yes. Good evening, Sean Hopkins from the law firm of Hopkins, Georgia McCarthy. On behalf of the applicant, also with me is Andrew Romanowski and Patrick Sheedy from Carmina Wood Design. This project has not been in front of you in quite some time. During that time period, we've been working diligently in connection with addressing environmental impacts, as the chairman previously indicated, and pursuing the various required approvals and permits for this project. Just to reacclimate everyone, the project consists of 24 lots, 23 of which would be for single family homes. One as is per standard would be for stormwater management only, to ultimately be dedicated to the town. The site itself is quite large, 47.2 acres in size. It is properly zoned. Of that overall acreage, we're only proposing to develop 21.2 acres. I did provide Anna with a part one of the environmental assessment form. What had previously been submitted was a short environmental assessment form. She had requested that on your behalf, provide some more detailed information, which I agree with. And then we've also provided some extensive documentation addressing potential environmental impacts. That does include a jurisdictional determination issued by the Army Corps of Engineers on January 13th of 2023, which revealed the presence of 3.7 acres of jurisdictional federal wetlands, which you can see is on the very back of the site. We are proposing no impact whatsoever to any of those wetlands. We did provide a stormwater summary letter prepared by Doug Faze, who works with Carmina Wood Design, a licensed engineer, just confirming that we're well aware of the stringent stormwater quantity and quality standards that apply, including the need for us to implement a stormwater management system that can handle a storm event. We provided a copy of the no impact letter issued by the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation on December 23rd, 2024. That was issued after a very detailed Phase 1A, Phase 1B archaeological report prepared by Pat Towers, who's a licensed archaeologist. So we think we've done a good job addressing the environmental impacts. We acknowledge that probably this evening you're not going to issue a secret determination. And then there's one other question that Ann and I discussed briefly prior to the meeting. I looked back at your agenda from your meeting on October of 2022, and the agenda at least suggests that you previously did adopt a resolution to conduct a coordinated environmental review. Unfortunately, the minutes of that meeting are not online. So we'll be asking you to this evening, is to the extent it hasn't already occurred, commence a coordinated environmental review. As you know, then the extensive project documentation will be distributed to a wide assortment involved in interested agencies. They will have a 30-day period to comment. We will then respond to any of their comments, and hopefully then in the near future be in a position to receive an actual declaration. There is also an outstanding letter from the engineering department. Those comments are being addressed diligently by Carmina Wood Design. So we think we've made a lot of progress since it was last presented. All the lots will comply with the zoning requirements, meaning we're not proposing any lots that don't comply with the minimum standards, and we envision all the homes we built on those lots will also comply with setbacks. It is important to note that Andy Romanowski and his home building company, Alliance Homes, would be the developer of this site. Obviously, they have a very successful track record in the town of Orchard Park in terms of high quality, upscale single family homes. So the extent the board or neighbors have questions, rest assured they will be the builder. Other than that, I think I've summarized all the relevant information. And if you have any questions, of course, either myself, Andy, or Pat would be welcome to address them.
I believe the lead agency status was established, but I can't be 100% sure. It certainly doesn't hurt to say on the record that we should do it again if it hasn't been done.
No question.
What size homes are these going to be?
Andy, what do you envision types of size of homes?
2,500 to 4,000 square feet.
2,500 to 4,000, and the average lot size is?
About 20,000 square feet in that range.
Meeting the requirement.
Thank you.
Minimum requirement 16,500.
I don't have any questions. Just a question.
Sure.
In terms of, and as you can see, our council is absent today.
Pardon? Okay, thank you. In terms of lot size setbacks and stuff like that, essentially, there's a minimum. Is that a limit, or can setbacks be deeper and, you know?
Well, obviously, we haven't designed the exact footprints of the homes. We have taken a look at what quite confident we can address the minimum setbacks. We're not saying in certain instances that we might not exceed those. What Andy's going to want to provide is kind of a uniform look, meaning not all different setbacks, just like his other subdivisions throughout the county.
Do you anticipate any effects on traffic?
I mean, with this number of lots, 23, so it increased traffic, of course, but certainly not to a significant degree. You know, we hope to acknowledge 23 lots will create some. Not in any way will we cross the threshold typically used by DOT and the county for whether a traffic study would be required, which would be 100 trips per hour at a given intersection.
I don't have any questions.
With the board having no further questions of the petitioner, let me open the public portion of the hearing and ask if there is anyone who would like to speak in favor of the project. Is there? Okay, there's a little sound there. Is there anyone who would like to speak in favor? For third and final call, is there anyone who would like to speak in favor? There being three calls in favor and no response, is there anyone who would like to speak against the project? For a second call, is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition? Can you come up and tell the written and recorded record? I keep saying tape, that shows how old I am.
That's right, I really only can quite understand. So, I'm speaking for my mom.
Sir, would you mind?
Yeah, sorry.
Good.
as I can for you. So I have concerns for my mother. She's an elderly lady who lives right on the corner there. Three of the houses are going to be pretty much right against her. Seven, one, two, three, four, five, six, actually about six or seven of them are all going to be new neighbors for her. And I understand stuff like this is hard to stop. I don't know, can you still hear me, ma'am?
Thank you.
I understand stuff like this is hard to stop, and unfortunately, everyone near there has a nice field to watch the deer walk around and the turkeys, and it is what it is. I'm wondering what the developer's plan is for mitigation of dust, sound, and dirt during construction for my elderly mother, who has lived there for years.
Can I ask if you have a chance to find your name?
Sure.
Sir, can you say your name and address for the record, please?
Mike Pakula, P-I-K-U-L-A. I'm speaking for Susan Pakula. What's your address, Mom? 6974 Mile Strip Road.
Thank you.
And also the other question is, I've been around a lot of construction sites in my life, and I am quite sure that the builders, the construction gentlemen, will probably be trying to use her wood line as a euro. And I'm wondering what could be done about that? I mean, this is going to be 2-3 years construction, I'm assuming. That's a lot of noise and dust in her backyard. Those are my questions.
Is there anyone? Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition?
I think you had your...
Go ahead.
I saw you first. But...
should I just take the mic?
Take the mic.
If you say, yeah. Okay.
Good.
And just, you know,
sign
in and let us know who you are so we can keep you advised of the progress of the project and the review.
So I just moved. My address is 6990, so I'm just on the other side of the Sioux there. I've only lived there for just over a year, and I moved from Eden, which is a very nice open town, lots of, you know, fields and scenery. And the reason I moved to this area, which I thought was a good mix, just the open fields, and, you know, we didn't want to move into a densely populated area with a lot of traffic at home. So me, very selfishly, I am against the project. I am not a fan of putting that many homes, you know, two doors down from my house. For anybody that knows the road there, it's a very, there's a really nasty hill. It's terrible. And I was concerned when I moved into the house, and now that I've lived there for just over a year, it's a blind hill. I can't see it. And I have two little boys. And I'm very concerned with growing up with them. You know, I did ultimately make the deal. I moved into the house. But so very selfishly, I am against taking away the scenic view, taking away the open property, you know, the land. I enjoy it. I can't help but wonder, this is, you know, there's a big chunk of land there. Is that this just this the start? Is that whole, you know, I know there's other LLCs that own the adjacent lots there. Are we just going to see homes packed in here for years to come? And to me, that's pretty disappointing. I guess to kind of get hit with this a year after I moved is a little disappointing to me, to be honest with you. But I am very concerned about the traffic, especially because of that blind hill that's just a little bit to the east of this hill here, part of this proposed development. So I guess put me in the category of not for this project. Okay?
Thank you.
Sir, can you say your name for the record?
Timothy Ebersole.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yeah.
My name is Joanne Stanton. I live at 20 Grand Rapids Court, which is part of the Woodridge Park development off Baker Road. My concern is the traffic. Has there been a traffic study done.
I think that would be addressed later by the developer. We're looking for your concerns.
Well, it's part of the concern is that development is going to increase the traffic. There's two schools on Baker Road. There's a four-way stop at Baker and Miles Brooks that people don't buy that. I almost got that on the way here. People want to be first. They don't want to stop. You have traffic coming off of 219. Now we're going to add construction traffic. So I really, my concern is not the whole project, but the part I am concerned about is the increase in traffic.
Yeah, that's legitimate. And I think that would be looked at after the public hearing, but not during the hearing, for the sake of being sure that anyone who's interested has time to speak.
Why don't you look at it afterwards? That's after the project's approved?
No, after we finish the hearing.
Oh, I thought there okay. I just spoke of the real panel.
You raised the issue at the right time.
Okay.
If you'd like to ask a question, you have to format it in terms of speaking either now in opposition, as we've asked people to speak in favor, and that part of public hearing protocol has already been met. But if you'd like to ask a question, you can raise that as part of the speaking in opposition.
All right.
And can you just sort of jot down your name and
yes,
tell folks?
Yes. My name is Mary O'Leary and I live on Southwick Drive. I really can't say I'm against the project, but I just wanted to ask some pertinent questions. One is, in terms of drainage issues, has that been addressed yet? And is that going to be, or is that going to be addressed? I've been told that the area, the whole area there, can be prone to wetlands. There's wetlands in certain sections. And I was wondering how that could impact the development and affect drainage issues for those of us that live nearby.
I can give you a very quick answer. And that is our engineering department will do that very thoroughly. And municipal standards in Orchard Park are twice as high as state standards.
Okay. So that has not been done thus far?
I don't think it's been completed so far. I don't know. Our engineer isn't here to advise us, but your concern is drainage then.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The other question I had is, what are the plans for the remainder of the property? There's still a big section behind this plan that's vacant. Is that land owned by the developer then? Do they have plans of extending the development or not?
That's something that we would find out down the road. And at this point, all we're looking at is this parcel. And that's how things are formatted when they come before the board. They're formatted by the land parcel.
But it seems as though since it's all part of that same general vicinity, okay, that there should be something at least tentatively planned for the whole scheme, because that can affect the decision regarding this section of the property versus the entire section.
That's, I don't know if you're familiar with the term zoning, but essentially.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the term zoning.
Yeah, okay. The town is divided into different zones, you know, residential, commercial, industrial, and residential has subcategories. And so, you know, without getting into a very, very long kind of process here, we, at this point, are looking only at this project. We don't know who owns the adjacent land and we don't know if they have any plans for it. What we have in front of us and the way in which planning moves forward is by each property and looking at each property.
Right, but what I'm saying is this abuts right up to this development. Is this zoned differently than this proposed project?
I don't have that information. That certainly is something you could find out from our engineering department.
Is there anyone here from the engineering department?
Unfortunately, not tonight.
Oh, that's too bad. Maybe we'll have to have them back again because we're only getting partial information then. It's hard to make a decision whether you support or not because we don't have all the information.
We can answer these questions after.
Yeah, you can answer it.
The entire site of the property is owned by
it. It is. And do you own the entire site then?
My client.
Your client owns the entire site? So all I was wondering is, does your client have intentions of once this section of the site is completed, of extending further down?
There's no definite plans now. I don't know if you want to add to that, Andy.
I can address that. So there's a significant physical barrier between the part that we're proposing to develop and the rest of the property that you had asked about, and it's Smokes Creek. So we do not have intentions or any plans at this time to develop the back part.
But you own the back part.
We do.
It was all one parcel.
That's why I was asking.
Well, it's a single parcel.
Right, that's why I was asking the question.
Give your neighbor just a moment here so she can sign up and then you can come and sit up at the table.
Ma'am, could you state your name? Yeah.
Sandra Wallach, W-A-L-H.
And what's your address?
121 Southwood.
Thank you.
Yeah. I just, that little piece of paper that we got, you know.
Are you going to
stick around
for 50 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sir.
Can I just ask a quick question? This is to the board. So you have a plan to develop the front end of this. They have no plan for the back end. Should they decide in the future that they would like to develop the rest of that property, would they have to come back to the town board to make a proposal?
Absolutely. And for residential, it would be coming to the planning board. The planning board would be supported in its review by the building inspector's department to ensure it meets code, by the engineering department to make sure that roadways, drainage, and all the structural aspects are appropriate. The conservation board would review it in terms of significant kinds of landscape and trees. So it would be a broad process, and they would start from go and have to begin to do the whole process. And in fact, for this project, this is only the very beginning.
Sir, can you state your name for the record?
My name is Patrick.
It's fine. Patrick.
ALH, 121 Southwick.
And is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition or express a concern? For a second call, oh wait, another hand. Okay, yes.
I'm Linda Gomez from 21 Crabapple Court, also Ridge Park. I'd just like to know about this sewer, because there's that little like sewer house there on Mile Strip. There's always seeming to be a lot of activity going on there. So I'd like to know how they're going to handle the sewage.
That would be something that would be covered during the engineering review. And at that point, we do not yet have that done. Unless there's proper service for utilities, water, electric, gas, sewer project will not go forward at all. For a additional call, is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition? Okay, for a third and final call, is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition? Is there a motion to close the public portion of the hearing?
We want to adjourn the hearing. We want to leave the hearing open, right?
In this case, since we don't have all the information, let's move to adjourn.
Can I so move to adjourn this public hearing?
Second.
There's a motion and a second to adjourn the public hearing. Those in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed by saying nay. It's adjourned. Folks, do you want to come back up for a moment? The world is...
First of all, I want to reiterate, to the extent that you haven't already consulted the agency, we ask you to include that in the resolution this evening. And I'll respond very briefly, but given that you're going to leave the public hearing open, we will also respond to the comments we've received in writing, which I think is helpful. So let me talk about the comments quickly. Number one, the site is zoned. So while there are people that live adjacent that will have more than one house behind them, it is properly zoned and we're following the zoning code. With that being said, with respect to the two truly contiguous properties, we'd gladly sit down with them and see if we can work out some type of solution in terms of effective screening. In terms of traffic, again, as I've already indicated, while it does increase in traffic, it just simply does not come close to the threshold for a traffic impact study. It's literally 23 lots on 47 acres, as I indicated. There were some concerns about existing traffic conditions, people speeding, people not following signs, et cetera. That's really an enforcement issue. That's completely outside the control of Mr. Romanowski. As was indicated in terms of wetlands, there was a question, well, will wetlands impact this layout? We do have a jurisdictional determination issued by the Army Corps of Engineers. And again, the only wetlands on the site are 3.7 acres in the back, which we will not be touching. In terms of drainage, as was indicated by the chairman, you have a very diligent engineering department. We have to demonstrate compliance with the stringent stormwater quality and quantity standards of the DEC. And rest assured, if, with respect to the adjoining neighbors, we cannot drain onto their properties. Absolutely all of our drainage must stay on our site and then be discharged at a controlled rate. Were there any other comments that I missed?
Sean, if I may, there was one comment that I made on the owner's behalf. Concern about the construction guys being there all day, and part of my language, urinating in the trees adjacent to our home.
Yeah.
You guys are going to have
porta potties in there. Sorry, I can address that. For that same person also expressed some concern about dust. So,
yeah.
You know, if we're fortunate enough to have dry enough conditions to create dust during the, usually that's an issue during the construction of the infrastructure, we bring in water trucks, we water to keep the dust down. You know, we're always respectful of the neighbors when we build, whether it's a neighbor that's existing or one that we've created, you know, who lives inside of our community as we build it. We have also portable restroom facilities on every job, every house, from day one.
Discreetly placed as well.
To the extent that we can get them serviced and discreetly place them at the same time, we do.
Yeah.
And then we also have to, during construction activities, again, we have to have a permanent stormwater management system, but during construction activities, we have to manage runoff as well. And as you know, that's all done through a whole series of mechanisms, including silt socks, et cetera, et cetera. All of these specified in great detail by your engineering firm.
I believe there are also certain restricted days and hours during which you can work.
We will follow the council requirements. And again, if there's residents here, it's tough to see this, obviously, for the first time on board. We'll show it to them in more detail. And if anyone provides us with the contact information, specifically their email, we'll also email them the plan.
Now, with that, and my understanding that you're going to meet with some folks, you know, immediately after this, but is there now a motion to adjourn the entire public hearing?
I think I had made that motion.
That was public portion.
The public portion, then I will so move to adjourn the public hearing.
Yes, sir. Motion and second to adjourn the public hearing. Those in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed by saying nay. All the ayes are being heard. There was a question about coordinated review.
Yeah, I believe it's done, but it doesn't hurt to make a motion to seek it if.
To the extent it hasn't been on file, and again, those minutes are not wrong.
Right. And I'll get them to you if they.
Okay. Will there be a motion to initiate a coordinated review under sitting?
Is the language going to be that simple for the motion?
I think it could be.
Then, Mr. Chairman, I so move.
Okay. Is there a second? With that being the case, just if it hasn't been done,
right.
It will be done.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks. Thank you all for coming. And this will be processed. Our engineering people will look at it. More information will be gathered. And any issues that need to be dealt with will be, in order for the project to move forward, subsequent to a preliminary plat approval. There will also be a second public hearing once all those things which need to be put in order are put in order. There would then be a final plat plan public hearing before the project would be approved, and that would be based both on code, engineering input, the State Environmental Quality Review Act, and the judgment of the board. So thank you all for coming.
Okay. So if I just tack on to that, the project developer's representative will be happy to meet with anybody to review the maps. Be right now, just outside this room, we know there's a lot of people that are here who are interested in this project. As the chairman said, there will be at least two more public hearings before this project is, before there's dirt dug out of the ground. So you'll have plenty of opportunity to offer follow-up questions at that point. But then, perhaps just in the interest of expediency, if you're here for this project, Mr. Romanowski, Mr. Hopkins, will be happy to meet with you in the hallway and ask more direct questions.
I'm sorry, I'm a little confused. I heard him say one more public meeting after the final plan.
There will be at least two more public hearings.
Yeah, this one is
adjourned. Will you be notified again?
Yes, you will. So, get out.
Okay, we'll give a moment for folks who are here for this project to join Mr. Hopkins and Mr. Romanowski, and then we'll move with our regular business. And okay, folks, part of this we got some stuff to go ahead with, and we want to move the meeting along for the sake of everyone who's here at the back end of the agenda. So our first regular business item is Planning Board File 2722, which is Birdsong Part 2, a proposed 51-lot subdivision at the terminus of Rock Dove Lane, Zoned R1. And
okay.
Sean wanted me to.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Folks, can you excuse us so we can kind of move on with the meeting?
Hey! Guys, could you please take those conversations out so we can continue?
Thank you, sir. That needed a little bluntness there. Essentially, at this point, the planning board is here primarily to do a ministerial function and that is seeking agency status. So, with that being the case, can you give us a very short presentation?
Sure. This is, well, later on the agenda, we'll be discussing the more important part. This is part two of the Birdsong subdivision. This has been presented to you previously. As you'll originally recall, this was proposed to be a CMO, but based on input that was received from adjoining neighbors, because there is a built-up subdivision directly next door, we completely changed strategies in 2022, went back to what's permitted in terms of lot size here, and now switched the CMO to the other side of the site where there's no directly immediate neighbors. With respect to the layout, we have received recently detailed engineering department comments. I know the engineering department's not here this evening. Nonetheless, Jason and his team at GPI have prepared a letter addressing some of those comments. There'll be more information to come. The only real substantive change we've made, Jason, I'm going to have you point it out, is one of the comments from the engineering department, and the only one that really affects the layout, came to the roadway alignment. So, Jason, if you want to talk about quickly how we changed that.
Sure. Originally, our concept, the approved concept plan for this particular project, had a road stub coming up here. Engineering comments have caused us to change that entirely, move the road stub over to here. So we had to realign utilities, et cetera, et cetera.
Explain why that change was requested, Jason.
That change was requested because this one that was proposed on the approved concept plan was basically leading to the potential reserve subdivision. And in the meantime, there's been some wetland complications with that project. So they're not planning a stub road.
Totally been a stub road to nowhere.
Right. So this one is now a stub road to what is a paper street called Barnstable Lane from the off of Stonehenge, I think it is. So that goes to a paper street. Whether that gets fully developed into a real street at some point in the future, we do not know. But that's what the recommendation was.
Have you been to Cape Cod?
No, I have not.
Barnstable.
Excuse me.
Where are you going?
Okay.
And then,
since we're just, looking for a motion relative to seeking lead agency status.
Correct.
I think you've given us enough detail to move ahead with that part of it.
And we did provide everyone with a copy of that update layout.
Is there a motion to seek lead agency status?
I make the motion that the planning board seek lead agency status for the unlisted CEQA action with a coordinated review for this proposed 51-lot subdivision.
Second.
Motion and second. Is there any discussion on the question? With there being none, all in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by saying nay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our second regular business item is Michael Development, which is a proposed 12-lot single-family subdivision located at the terminus of Woodhaven Road, currently zoned R2. And again, the only action we would take here would be to seek lead agency status. So if you want to give us a very, very brief summary, we need very little information.
Pat Sheedy, Carino Design, Project Engineer. It's a proposed 12-lot subdivision extending Woodhaven Drive to Dillard Road. We have begun detailed engineering plans and have addressed multiple rounds of comments from the engineering department. We have received various outside agency approvals already. We have received a wetland impact permit. So we're here tonight to request that the planning board seek lead agency and begin the secret board review process.
Okay. Are there any questions from the board, or is it a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'm prepared to make a motion. I move that the planning board seek lead agency status for this unlisted seeker action with coordinated review for this proposed 12-lot subdivision.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, Alex. Any discussion on the question? There being none, all in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by saying nay. Only ayes are heard. Motion is carried. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you. We're set. Our next item is Planning Board File 372450 Cobham Drive, located east of California Road, north of 20A, Zone I-1, and the Crow Group is seeking Planning Board approval for a parking expansion, adding 98 parking spaces for a total of 205 spaces. Is there any, okay. Okay. Just a quick question here. Anna, were there outstanding questions on this?
Yeah, it does not have engineering approval today. When I sat down with Wayne, there was a small outstanding revision that's needed. Small.
We aren't aware of that.
Yeah, it just came up today when I talked to Wayne about it. As you know, Tom is out, so Wayne is the head of engineering, obviously, all the time, not just because Tom is out. But there needs to be some minor drainage revisions as per Wayne.
Now, our understanding, there were apparently additional questions in terms of whether the plan was consistent with the provisions of the Crow thing, and that's taken care of. Generally, we don't like to move ahead without fully seeing that every I is dotted and T is crossed. And I'm not sure we would approve it at this point. There are two actions that we could take that would be the pleasure of the board. If we adjourn, there's an indefinite time period. If we table, there's a ticking clock. And it has to be resolved within 60 days. So that would give you a time frame, which I think would be more than sufficient.
We have to turn the building over by June 1st, and which includes the parking lot. There's major penalties associated with that. So
I have a question, Lynn. Just to make the record clear, in terms of the possibility of a 60-day timeline, was there also space required for snow removal?
That's the drainage revision.
So drainage refers to some place to put snow.
Yeah.
We have indicated multiple snow storage areas in the same plan.
And 60 days doesn't mean it would go necessarily 60 days. And it can all be cleared out by the next meeting. These seem like minor issues, but one of the problems that we often run into that, you know, if we grant conditional approval, then the next person to come in was.
Well, I think you know as well enough that we're not going to, you know, the work that we've performed over the years and within the town.
Yeah, you've done regular work and we're interested in moving this along.
There's no question about that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's not an issue.
My concern is getting it done by June 1st, you know, So as soon as we're able, you know, we'd like to start clearing some trees and moving some snow and get
I can't speak for engineering.
I
but if this can be cleared, you know, with you and the engineering folks
and we schedule you for the meeting in March. Would that be?
2 months? Cut tight, but what's the meeting would be in March? The end of March or?
Second week.
Second Tuesday in March. It is what it is.
We just find that sometimes, even, you know, there are many people who are very conscientious, but the minute you open up, you set a precedent, people who aren't as conscientious come in. And
will we be receiving the outstanding comments as soon as possible then?
I will talk to Wayne about it first thing tomorrow morning.
Okay. We've been diligently addressing all the comments as soon as they
come. We appreciate that.
Just unfortunate.
Any other thoughts?
Different thoughts, please.
No, I think it's also pretty clear that we believe this is going to, we know what Kroger's reputation is in terms of doing great work in Orchard Park and beyond, and this project is good for the town of Orchard Park as well. And I think I speak for everybody that we want to see this project go forward, but just to echo the chairman's comments, we don't really want to set that precedence, but we want to see this go forward. So I think we can put some very favorable input to the town engineer to make sure you get everything as quickly as possible, address it, and then we can move forward. Back on wood, March 11th, give you the full go.
Okay.
Nothing yet.
Then is there a motion to table?
I'll make a motion regarding Planning Board File 3724. I recommend that we table until the March 11th meeting.
Second.
I thought I would have my chat in a second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Those in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Again, we'll be Anna, who's about 75 feet away from the engineering office, will be there tomorrow. Okay. And see what can be done. We also ask you to appreciate that with the very strict budgeting guidelines that have come out of Albany, we are grossly understaffed. And, you know,
we're just too bad that these questions could have been brought up. Yeah.
That was because they were working on projects that they should have been working on and fully staffed 6 months ago. But, you know, sort of like under the new state rules, you know, the state wants us to field the full football team with four people. That's just how it is. But we do appreciate the quality of the crew.
Thank you. We'll keep it up.
Thank you. With that, we'll move to Planning Board File 3424. And that's Lexington Heights. Essentially a safety issue in terms of crash gates or things like that, and we did get feedback from the fire people saying that they were going to try and run $1 million truck through crash gates, which may or may not open. I'll ask other board members for their thoughts, and then
yeah, and I will add to say that it is not economically feasible to develop these future portions of the neighborhood. That issue with the 30 plus homes on one block, one street without secondary access will always be what it is. And this is a very difficult site to develop. That's why we're proposing what we are. I've never done family homes before. I've always done the typical portion of rental homes. The only reason I'm proposing doing this is because of the restraints of the topography and the wetlands that we're faced with. And so I would say that the choice is you run a $5,000 pickup truck through that gate, not $1 million fire truck, or you just hop out very quickly and undo the law. Or in 99% of the cases, you would enter through Jewett Homewood, which is what they're going to do now forever if I'm not able to develop this portion of the property.
Let me illustrate that. So if you go to, flip down the slides a little bit, and you'll see a plan that says current CMO plan dated October 31st, 2024. It's about probably halfway down. This is a current CMO plan dated October 31st, 2024. Which is the same plan we have on the board. So as I think most of you recall, because we presented this again and again over the course of the past year and a half, we originally just had Part 5 as a CMO. And on March 14th of last year, you issued a negative declaration and a positive recommendation to the town board by unanimous vote. Then in May of last year, the town board held a public hearing, and at that time, representatives of the HOA showed up and expressed some comments, which were fine. They should. They have a vested interest. Based on that, we asked the town board not to take any further action and went back to the drawing board. Ultimately, after considerable discussions with the HOA and their representation, including us attending their meetings, which we appreciate they provided that opportunity, we came up with a plan. Parts 4 and Parts 5, now called Lexington Heights, so it would be branded different than Birdsong, by which this would be a self-enclosed, separate subdivision. In order to do that, so that our site would be in compliance with the fire code, keep in mind, our site, we're showing a second access point onto Transit Road. So our actually CMO, which is again, those patio homes that'll probably be $800,000 to $1 million, complies with the fire code. What doesn't comply with the fire code, which is what Dave was indicated, is the existing Birdsong subdivision. Because again, far too many lots without secondary access. And what Dave meant by his comment is without this project, that situation stays the same forever. There will never be compliance with the fire code. Compliance with the fire code that didn't apply at the time that subdivision was developed. So we reached a compromise. And the HOA didn't love this, but I give them credit because they acknowledged we needed to do it. What we're showing is two gated only emergency access points. We've agreed that those would be subject to a deed restriction. The importance of that deed restriction to the HOA is so we don't install these gates and 6 years later, 20 years later, say, oh, we forgot about those. Let's open it up to public access. Now, in terms of how those gates work, with the fire department, these are very common, not only throughout West New York, but New York State, in order to comply with the fire code. We were originally told at a meeting back in October that the preference would be that those just have a lock, literally a lock that can be unlocked. But there is other technology. In Amherst, they have what's known as a Knox box, where the key is literally right there, and it can only be accessed by the fire department. And again, when I've talked to, for example, building inspectors in Clarence, and Amherst, many of whom are also firemen, they couldn't come up with a single example where they'd overused one.
I mean, they're generally not necessary, but however, in the event Transit Road is shut down for some unknown reason, or Jewett Homewood is shut down, it does provide that extra precautionary measure. We're certainly not suggesting that someone drive a $350,000, $700,000 fire truck through the gate. I don't think that's necessary. But even if they had to stop and unlock that, much safer than what's there today, which is nothing. There literally is no secondary access that's within the appropriate distance for that existing subdivision. We simply don't need it. The HOA doesn't love it, but it will bring their subdivision into compliance. So we think we've done a good job over the course of, again, when we left May 1st last year, town board, we were told to work with the neighbors. We've worked with the neighbors. They've been willing to engage with us. We've all made some concessions, and we think we've now come back with a layout that ultimately deserves two things. Number one, the issuance of a negative declaration. We've provided very, very extensive documentation. We've increased the amount of green space. We've decreased the amount of infrastructure. We've decreased the wetland impacts. We have less impervious area. We're serving a different market than the Birdsong subdivision. So I think clear as day, it would be appropriate for you to issue a negative declaration. And then secondly, and you won't ultimately be the decision maker, just like you did at March 14th of last year, we would ask that you issue a favorable recommendation on the CMO, subject to conditions. And the conditions are set forth on the last page of the presentation. I just want to walk through them quickly, especially because there is a representative of the HOA. Number one, and this was an important issue. This actually was the primary issue that came up last May that Dave actually addressed as quickly as possible, that any construction of this subdivision, access is limited to Transit Road. No construction access whatsoever through the existing Birdsong subdivision. Two, that we will name the subdivision, again, Lexington Heights, to brand it and make it distinct from the existing Birdsong subdivision. Three, that those two connections that I indicated shall be gated and emergency access only. Only open to emergency personnel. And then four, as I indicated, that gated emergency access be subject to a deed restriction that will be recorded at the Erie County Clerk's Office to ensure those are permanent emergency access gated only. That we don't at some point in the future say, hey, guess what, we'd like to have that be a public access roadway, which would be a direct contravention of our discussions with the neighborhood. So we think we've done exactly what we're told to do, which was meet with the HOA, meet with the Birdsong residents, address their concerns to the maximum extent possible. And I think if you look at the correspondence that's been submitted by the HOA, specifically Kevin Miller, he acknowledges that as a result of a consensus reached over the course of literally almost now the past year, that we're in a position that we could get a positive recommendation to the town board. So again, we've done our homework. All the specific facts and history are set forth in great detail in my PowerPoint presentation. We ultimately think this is much better than what previously received a favorable recommendation from this board 11 months ago.
I have a question. Just from my knowledge, under the transportation access portion of a long EAF,
right.
Knowing the layout of transportation in the adjacent areas, do you see any potential for a longer response time in the event of medical emergencies, such as a fall, right, or some potential injury, or a cardiac event, or some kind of respiratory emergency, that would really be a disservice to the residents of medical homes, despite their requirement for gates in one portion of potential access for the person where minutes matter?
Yeah, I agree. I understand, and I don't. I don't.
So there's no potential for any delay in a medical emergency response team arriving to those patio homes because of the presence of the gated...
No, we have two accesses off of transit, which would be a more direct route to neighbors of that.
I'm just wondering about gates in the event of an ice storm, blocks, random...
Yeah, again. Transit Road, there are two access points off of Transit Road, which would be the most direct.
And the crews will know this.
Yeah, and again, planning board member and also Dr. Bennett. Two access points onto Transit Road, which complies with the code. So this complies. What doesn't comply is the existing Birdsong subdivision. And again, It's because that Appendix D of the Fire Code of New York State of 2020 just simply wasn't in effect. Keep in mind how old the subdivision. So in response to your question, if anything, by providing these gated emergency access points that otherwise would not be required for the existing Birdsong subdivision, we've improved response times. I mean, in the unlikely event they have to use them, at least they can get there. Right now, Jewett Homewood's closed down. There's no response time. They simply can't get to the thing unless they drive on to, I don't know, however they would do it, but that could be a real concern. I don't think that's ever happened, but that could be a concern.
Well, let me ask a question. Are you then saying that this would provide more rapid emergency access to existing portions of the Birdsong subdivision?
In the event that they can't utilize the regular roadways because there's a problem on an internal roadway or on Jewett Homewood. Otherwise, it'll stay the same as it is today.
That problem might be weather-related, such as a hookup to a wizard event,
yeah.
Where the internal roadways are less.
And we've had conversations with the highway departments, and they have equipment, and they're able to handle the plowing and snow removal in these areas.
But that's why this is better for that exact situation. Let's say there's inclement weather or a bad car accident, tractor trailer, Jewett Homewood's completely closed off. Well, at least now, to service those existing residents of Birdsong, they can get there. You know, it may be a little bit more indirect route, but it's better than them not getting there at all. Conversely, if for some reason Transit Road is completely closed down, now we have emergency access through the subdivision, although not required by the code, into our CMO. I mean, if we were just doing the CMO, these aren't required by code, but they don't hurt because, again, they provide emergency access both ways.
I guess, let me ask folks on the board. I know we feel at a great disadvantage because neither council nor engineering is here.
Sure.
And we feel uncomfortable.
Well, they have
making decisions.
Ample opportunity to speak to this. They've known that we're
right,
going to be here tonight.
Have they voiced any
opposition? Because in my discussion that I saw Wayne yesterday, and I didn't get any.
My understanding, at least when I last spoke, the council was potentially to return. I guess I feel a little uncomfortable moving ahead.
Can you expand on why?
Part of the conversation. I think we need more detail from them. They're not here.
I don't think this pertains to a legal issue. This pertains to a fire code compliance issue, which really falls outside the scope of the county attorney's
office. I can't indicate exactly why that is.
I can add a little bit of light on it. It was because the subdivision itself was approved in the 90s. It was something that, so it was an extension of the old park in that matter, without, if we still wanted to keep all the green space for the overall development, which we did, when it's in the country, we had to also take that subdivision without reprocessing the whole thing and look at it as one piece. I know on private driveways, they do have knock boxes on gates. I was brought to my attention there's even more modern stuff that might be prettier for that type of thing. But I would myself like to do just a little bit more research. I know what it is on a private driveway and a fire lane. I don't know what the fire department has to say about a road. I just don't know. I would like at least a little bit of research on that. But I know that on regular private driveways, knock boxes are on. Our patrol cars carry knock box keys. Our fire chief only has the only key to the fire department because we have a volunteer service here. But we do have them in the police cars to open up knock boxes throughout the neighborhood. That would be the same knock box that opens up all the buildings, the same ones that open up the gates on certain quarterbacks, gates, things like that. Same exact knock box.
Does EMS have access to the knock box?
Only through fire chief. And chance of them being there not too good. So it's the patrol cars are going to be there first.
So patrol cars would be there
first. Right, because they get there first, open.
In the event of a medical emergency, there's a potential for delay. Perhaps the patrol gets there before EMS.
Well, most of the time.
Mr. Chairman, I have some concerns about the gates, and I've never liked the idea of the person. It's just not clear. I appreciate the communication that you guys have had and with the Birdsong HOA tremendously. But what's in my head right now is this particular winter. If those connecting roads existed right now with gates, I'm wondering who's maintaining the roads on either side of the gates to make sure that there's not 3 or 4 or 5 feet of packed ice.
Right.
You know, that's not something that I've heard being spelled out at all.
Well, that's the highway department. These are all publicly dedicated roads.
Does highway have the option then of opening the gate on a regular basis and clearing whatever might accumulate?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Larry's point is he's picturing a plowing wall on both sides
right.
of the gate,
yes.
which becomes impenetrable or another delay in response to an EMS call where minutes matter.
Right. That's exactly my point, that it's not maintained all the way through. In prior winters, the last several years, we've got big bouts of snow and it's been melting a week later.
Right.
This year is very different, and I can attest to about 6 or 7 inches of ice at the end of my driveway. Haven't attended to that I should be.
Well, our conversations with Andy is that the highway department is equipped to do the snow removal necessary to maintain access.
Will they be opening the gate in the process?
That I don't know. I can't see any reason we wouldn't have given that. That was not an obstacle, so it could have been easier.
But again, there is no access.
We can't have them as not defense against the highway department. They're all great people, but they don't deserve a building in this town.
But I would say that there is no access at all right now, currently. Zero.
Right, that's the point. Whatever's there today will make it better.
Now we have a chance of making it better. There's absolutely nothing there now, currently. And there's a tremendous expense to add the second access off of Transit Road due to the
topography,
the elevation changes in that road. So we said that we will absorb that cost in order to add the secondary access. And again, this is not an inexpensive venture here. We're already multi-millions of dollars into this. It's going to be what it is, or then it reverts back to wetlands. And just like when they asked us to move the stub street in part two, because the wetlands grew in the area that was going to be a future neighborhood developed by Johnson, that's what's going to happen here. Once that happens, there is no opportunity in the future to do anything. And this isn't farmable. This is property that's good, it's landlocked, and it's going to. It's you do something now in order to protect the future.
And again, everything else is clearly environmental benefit. More green space, less impervious, it's clear as day.
I personally feel uncomfortable about our council and our interior, but I also understand your point. And if you've got 2 points of access or egress, I think that's good. There may be some additional options. There's an outfit that does what they call traffic calming.
Traffic generated by the patio.
Yeah, I have it. So, because this came up before in the original approval. So what was originally there was 89, what I would call traditional lots. Lots that the Birdsong residents like because they would be identical in size to what they have there.
But they still didn't want to connect.
Right, but based on the IT trip generation rate, which is a national standard, that would generate 38.7 trips during the peak hour. Peak hour being either AM or PM when people are driving to work. Based on our updated layout, that would be
91.67 curbs based on exit one. However, based on 129 CMO lots, which again is 40 more, because of the nature of the trips, it's only 0.3 of them. So literally, although this is higher density, because of the nature of the housing, you might, a lot of people are retired, a lot of people travel in and out of the area, we're literally one-third the number of trips based on the national standard. So that's a significant reduction, which is good for the roadway network, as well as the internal routes. And we've submitted all that writing previously. And we've just done our best we could over the course of the last year to address every single issue that's come up.
We have been working on this for several years. As you know, we've been here several times, well, many times. At this point, like I said, I'm uncomfortable without active input and discussion with council and with engineering. I do see this as something that it would form a part of the package in terms of creating residential options for people.
But it's also going to enhance safety.
It'll add safety. And I'm uncomfortable about moving ahead tonight without those two sets of interactions.
Well, engineering department, I mean, we met with the engineering department. This layout reflects that meeting. We were all at and grabbing in October. And this is the exact layout we had prepared based on that meeting.
There are questions here. Marie's questions raised. There are little questions. I'll just file them.
I'm going to echo the chairman's sentiment about being uncomfortable without having engineering and legal with us. This is a very difficult situation because we are so appreciative of the efforts that the developer and the community have to come up with a good project. And it is a good project. And Sean brings up many good points and does so often. But without our engineer here, without the attorney here, I am hesitant to go forward. I would prefer to go forward with them, perhaps on March 11th, with them here to give our direct input.
And concurrence.
Likewise.
Agreed.
So the only thing I would ask is there any way we can establish some kind of deadlines to get comments back? What I don't want to do is show up again in a month.
Oh, yeah. We're
going to have comments, and now we're in the same boat again.
We did expect that the comments would have been received.
Yeah, we haven't received any comments.
So. We would have, too, and as I said, we're grossly understaffed, consequent of the state tax cap.
The longer this takes, the longer those residents that are on that dead-end street without secondary access.
And that's a very important point.
Can I just have a question?
Sure.
Because this doesn't happen. This is
but
the
we
first
could,
step.
We could look to scheduling this, and I think for the next meeting.
I have a question, just so it goes
sure.
to the record. Could we expect from engineering some kind of a plan for regular opening of the gates for highway service? I'm imagining a highway service access schedule whereby we know that that gate opens and the roadway at the level of the gate permits easy access for any type of emergency response vehicle in a way that then satisfies our requirement to provide access.
If I can add on to that, I just have more things that are popping in my head. You have a highway, the drivers are union contract guys, right? Are they even allowed to get in and out of their trucks to open gates to clear snow?
Firemen?
No.
Oh, highway.
Highway, because we're picturing plows on both sides, which push snow to the side, which makes a bump in the middle.
Well, typically they use pickup trucks when they have these.
Yeah.
It's highway.
And neither highways.
I mean, if we have a big snow event, do they have time? to take separately clear a date when they have other obligations to get.
Well, they might come back with that. Yeah. I mean, again, it's still better than what's there today.
And again, what we're looking for here is not what can be done, but assurances that it will be done. Yes, they can come with a pickup truck and do it, but will they?
I really stand
that. And that's something that we've got to work out.
And we'll work on that. But I will say that absent this, there's never going to be any. And so what you're talking about is less than ideal, but really a lot less.
And again,
absolutely zero access.
And again,
let's
say, for example, we remove the gates entirely. We get rid of these. There's no gated emergency access. There's no access whatsoever, which is what Birdsong wants. In theory, this predates the code requirement. It still complies. No one's citing them today saying, Birdsong, you're out of compliance. And our layout would clearly comply. We have two access points on the transit. So we would be in a worse situation. The HOA would be fine. We would be fine. We're only doing this to try and help literally the town in terms of emergency access to the existing Birdsong. But if that's where we end up, that'd be great for us. And I know the HOA
I'm
would love
absolutely it. Okay with that. And we're 100% compliant without those access.
Right.
And I would actually prefer to build it that way.
Yeah, so
it'd be less expensive for
and the HOA would prefer.
I think from I'm picturing the town's obligation to provide access.
Well, you're not having access right now.
No, but it would apply because it's already there.
But in the event of a gate that somehow becomes rendered inaccessible by pile of snow.
Yeah, but today you have a ravine and no road at all.
I hear you, but the presence of a road which somehow is non-functional, but is the responsibility of pile to maintain function, then is just another liability on the town for not having had that area cleared. There is no roadway, then
there's no, right,
there's no liability.
Well, yeah, and as I said, we would be in compliance.
I think at this point, what would be sort of incumbent on us is for us to get together with our support people and sort this thing out. You've been very patient, it's a good project. Benefit the town, and I think if we look to tabling to March, what day?
March 11th is our next meeting.
Yeah, where would that, would everybody be comfortable with that?
Yes, I agree. I think we need the opinions on the record, particularly with regard to liability.
Right.
And having something there that is intended to be maintained and somehow isn't, then we're setting ourselves up.
In that respect, then we would eliminate those gated accesses.
I'm not recommending it. I'm just asking.
That's a possibility.
That's possible if we can't resolve these issues that have been raised.
Legal counsel would be advising us on a legal matter.
I understand. I'm okay with that.
It seems to me we've reached some general consensus on both sides of the table.
I understand.
But we need if we're going to talk about that sort of thing, that is something we definitely need engineering input on, that sort of thing. I don't even know if that's allowable without engineering being here, so let's not.
No, that's fine. All we would ask for is we get input before the meeting. So we can talk.
Yeah,
that's it.
That could be done, and we can engage the highway system.
Sure.
As well.
And we'll follow up with that as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, can we have a motion to adjourn?
I made a motion to adjourn. Nick, and then the consensus.
And that's to the March meeting, right, for sure.
March 11th. March 11th. That's a regular schedule.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Appreciate your time.
The motion was made in second, and I think there's general consensus. If you want to
comment, so those in favor of the motion. Please indicate so by saying aye.
Opposed by saying nay. Our next item is Buffalo Thompson. Did you have an offer, sir? Oh, Buffalo Thompson? No, I have the last item.
Buffalo Thompson.
someone here representing Buffalo Top Slope.
Essentially, our advice, both from our support and our council people, is that this is in litigation. If you wish to speak to us briefly, you may do that, but essentially, we're going to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm hearing for the first time that this...
I don't know who you are, please.
I'm Nicholas DeMarco. Mr. Chairman, I'm not aware that we haven't commenced any litigation. Our hope is we can actually avoid that. My name is Nicholas DeMarco. I'm a special counsel over at Gibson Dunn.
That's good.
All right.
You know who you are now.
So I represent Alan Eagle here and Buffalo Top, Amherst Park Topsoil. All right, and I'm really kind of a lousy fill-in for Jay Bowman. I don't know if you guys know Jay, but Jay passed away recently. And in that context, I've kind of taken on some of his files, which is how I got involved in this. And I want to thank you guys all, first and foremost, by taking the time. I won't say too much of your time. David, I believe I've known just from doing the legal work in the past. I only mention that because I got involved in the sense of a very complex situation, right? And ultimately, so my first real involvement, I showed up to a court appearance on December 13th, okay? And my impression of that, as I was taking over several other files for security-related companies, he's been operating out of his North Bend location, for generations. And ultimately, one of those nights, town prosecutor night, they're doing traffic tickets, they're doing it. And I thought we were there essentially to make sure that we had complied with the requirements of submitting the site plan by September 6th, which, as I've learned, the Judge Pastor and the town prosecutor were very involved in trying to put this case to bed. I guess ultimately, I kind of went in there with the assumption that, hey, this is a violation of the level of offense. This, we submitted the site plan, and at that time, it was December 13th. I know the site plan was submitted on September 5th or 4th. And, Mr. Pullman passed away in October. He worked up almost until the day he passed away. God rest his soul. And I had a tremendous amount of respect for him. And I should have done more due diligence on my end going into the first court appearing because, frankly, I didn't realize how much hard work went into the resolution that the town and Chuck Messina. Who I respect very much as well, and Judge Patrick did, along with Tom Meyer and the building department. So, I think they were probably less than thrilled with me when I kind of came in and started asking questions about years and years worth of history, because I just, as I was reading how things were playing out, I kind of expected, hey, this should have been done, and with that in mind, I know that there's been a lot of, emails and stuff back and forth, right? I apologize if I was not trying to make upset the apple cart here. I realize this is a really long, drawn out history, and if it means anything, I will take personal responsibility. Because Alan and I were the same age, and we are from very similar backgrounds. His father is my dad's second cousin, right? In the sense that, and if the sins of the father become the sins of the son, right? And I guess as DeMarco, if you guys know Joey, my cousin Joey, my dad is Jim. I as an attorney, I've practiced for 10 years now. I get it. I understand, when you're trying to put a square peg into a round hole. And I've learned that, I tell these people no. And I guess as I came in, I tried to understand why Alan was not in a position to, have electricity. I think that's, so I understand that, if the position is worthy to table, I just want to, I'll finish kind of what I have to say, and I understand if you guys, if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer it. I know Kerry Allen and Daryl Martin are here too, but, I don't think I did Mr. Hugo any favors after the 13th, because I actually came in there, I was asking a lot of questions, and I didn't understand why things were where they were, and since that time, I've had a chance to dive into Jay's file. I really understand. I mean, this was something he was dealing with back in 2019, even before then. And I guess just to give a little context, really, Alan, he has right now, he's running, he doesn't have electric. He can't get electric at the building. It's just 7 years, right? And I don't know why that is per se. And I realize that the judge were trying to address a lot of different things with what's going on with those various parcels around there too. But at this point,
you know, he just needs an office building standalone. He can't get electric there. And, you know, the building that there's a warehouse we want to have reconstructed, it was permitted. It was built in 2017 and burned down in 2019. Mr. Kugel's father passed away in 2018. And I guess, you know, from what I've seen in Mr. Coleman's file, this was actively being addressed with the town all throughout 2019. And I believe, from what I can piece together the timeline, essentially, you know, I believe actually Mr. Hopkins, they were engaged in some level of trying to get this, in, you know, to the town board, right? Because there were some other concerns, just generally, right? I think a lot of that predated Mr. Kugel, but with that in that time, kind of time frame in mind, we hit the semi of the email to the town, and you know, Mr. Hopkins' firm and things like that, relative to a site plan and what, you know, they were in. And with all of that, so then COVID is, right? And there's really nothing, I don't know, I'm sure there's town records or something that we like kind of indicate, but I don't necessarily see it in EJ's file that indicates a lot happened from 2020 to 2022, which would make sense given, you know, the circumstances that we were in. And I, you know, with all that in mind, like, then there's these violations that precipitate this court proceeding, right? And I mean, I guess that became a very complicated situation, and I think it became complicated because you had a lot of hardworking people. And you know, Tom Meyer, I think, introduced some respects. Like, if he's given us a ton of feedback on the site application that was set forth, and I think the judge, you know, with great intentions, went into this trying to solve a lot of different problems that, you know, may have been existing. And along the line, we've gotten to a point where now we have this pretty expansive site application. And I guess I would just ask, you know, we're just looking to get his, first and foremost, the electric turned on, which I'm not sure why they won't do that, why there won't be a significant occupancy issue just for the office itself. And then the secondary is really just rebuilding in the exact same footprint that the warehouse that existed was permitted in 2017, rebuilding that. You know, I'm not naive to the concerns relative to dust and things like that on the adjacent parcels, but I mean, I guess that was all part and parcel of what was the reason. But I was very central to what happened with the court proceeding. So last February, there was a conditional discharge entered into that case, where Mr. Kugel agreed to comply with all these things relative to a site plan, addressing a lot of these things that honestly are outside the scope of what he would need to get the electric back on in his office. I mean, he's running on generators. To me, it's like, as I'm hearing this type of stuff, that's where I'm, you know, I appreciate you, Sharon, for giving me the heads up off the bat. I guess, you know, if your hands are tied, I have to discuss this further with the town attorney. But, you know, is there anything that you can give construction-wise that we can give him just a certificate of occupancy? If we submit an application for just a certificate CO for that building, is that going to jeopardize anything with the current application?
To be honest with you, most of what I know about legal process or see on late night television, you know, I watch a lot over here. But essentially, I think there's a connection for you to make with either our counsel here and the prosecutor. And I think they can give you a better picture.
Well, you know, with all due respect, you know, and I don't want to, I guess I'm kind of at an impasse because their point, you know, I understand that we need to get on the board because there's this whole notion of this escrow fund. And honestly, that to me it decides the point as far as how much. Like at this point, you know, we're not in litigation. I haven't commenced any litigation. The litigation would be the town having a conditional discharge that's still in the process of it. And so that would be any violation. I don't think
Mr. Chairman, can I interrupt for a moment?
Please.
It's not the fact tonight that we're not hearing your case. It's the fact that we're not lawyers and our lawyer wants to be here and he couldn't be here tonight.
Okay.
That's the bottom line.
Okay, because what I took from what the chairman said was that you wouldn't respond because we had commenced litigation or something along those lines.
Well, that's why we don't want to misspeak. We're not lawyers.
Okay,
we're
no, I'm just
wrong word.
I appreciate you guys letting me explain that.
We would just like to be present during a campy dinner.
Understood.
I apologize.
No, I think it was time to get points on the board kind of towards the end and kind of at the court's direction. And I wanted to have an opportunity, but sure we'll be back here. You know, with all that in mind, I mean, I think that Mr. Kugel has a right to be able to operate his property and to get electric at his office. Topsoil is one aspect of what he's doing. The town clearly has in some capacity with respect to the court as our prosecutor, is don't have an issue with him doing that whatsoever, right? So I guess we want to do what we need to do, fit within the overall scheme of what the town requires, but understanding that our position is that we really shouldn't have to address these adjacent parcels whatsoever. You know, and especially in the context of what was agreed to in the proceedings at court. Because then that supersedes, from my perspective, you know, the violations that may have occurred in 2022, 2023. I mean, there was an agreement in place with the town. And I understand it doesn't mean we're going to get approved one way or another, but I guess if we're not going to be approved on the current application, we would, you know, obviously reserve the right to renew it for a much scaled back one that just gets us electric and gets them to rebuild the existing warehouse.
Mr. Chairman, I'm prepared to make a motion in view of legal complexity and prior legal judgments that have been made in this manner regarding Planning Board File Number 3624, Buffalo Top Cell at 3340 North Benson Road. I move to adjourn.
Second. Okay, motion is second. I think at this point it's important that our board council be involved.
Sure. Is he going to be at the next meeting, or do you guys have will be able to be noticed for that?
Normally our attorney is here at all of our meetings.
Okay.
We cannot be Nostradamus and
John
Bailey has been over.
That's fine. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Just on the question before we call the vote, thank you for passing on the information about Jay. Jay, his brother, and I went to church together and school together. I was unaware of his past. So, thank you.
And I think the notion of trying to look at this and somehow set things right, maybe resetting this to where things may have started, but then I don't know what I'm talking about because I'm not
prepared. I'm happy to engage in dialogue with John about some of the particulars.
There's a motion on the floor.
And so there's a second.
Yes. Okay. With a motion and a second, those in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Our final item is concept review for a updated proposal for a warehouse.
Pardon? My name is Paul, and I'm not on the agenda here.
I don't understand.
I'm for a variance. I need for a shed. This is my second meeting here.
Sir, this isn't. This.
I'm not going to show up to this one.
This is the planning board of its own.
Can you tell me to come here?
You should have something in the back.
Yes.
There's only words that do that. So you didn't miss it.
No, they told me to come here. They gave me this date. All right. I just waited 2 hours.
You all have it? Good. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Anna, for making me happy.
Are we ready?
I think we're ready.
Okay.
And we saw your original proposal. We looked at the revised proposal, which looked as if basically the structure had only been rotated 93.
They have.
And that seemed to be the change. The basic question of the scenic byway, of common borders with public property, and those kinds of things are still pretty much out there. We've got the land to your east with the pond and town property, the land on your west is the 219 right of way, which is the scenic byway. I think if that wouldn't automatically qualify as type one, that's my impression, but it's not compelled, would then have the option to designate it type one as well. And there's some real issues here relating to its location and, neighborhood character stuff. I believe Mr. Kaser has very aggressively raised issues about using this land for warehousing. One of the problems with warehousing is if you're putting multiple structures in there, be they for storing equipment or storing materials, we had almost kitty corner to your property. There was a proposal to use that building that was next to Peter Bruin there for storage of agricultural products, chemicals. And there was an issue there with what would be stored there, and if there were a fire, hazmat would have needed to deal with certain things. So the question is, looking at these separate individual storage units, then you would have to look at limiting what to each. You know, this is very close to the residential neighborhood. If folks are going to take their diesels out there and warm them up for 10 minutes or however long every morning, then the fumes are going to be 65% of the time the wind is coming out of the southeast, and it will be blowing the diesel fumes into a residential neighborhood. There are a lot of issues with warehousing there, and I know Mr. Kaser, who unfortunately is ill, spoke very aggressively to that.
Well, and we updated the project map based on this.
I think there are a lot of issues with that. If you opt to move forward with the warehouse proposal, it would certainly end up being a type one.
It's not a type one.
No, we would have the option.
No, we don't have that. No option to convert something to a type one. That's okay. Let me give a little history of where we're at. So first of all, if may recall, because he was here for years and years.
I thought it was.
He looks the same. Mr. Lasky was the original developer of the Pleasant Acres subdivision, which took 22 years.
It took me 22 years to get approved.
For a whole host of issues.
22 years to get approved.
It's actually turned out quite.
And I've owned this land for over 30 years. But I want the board to be aware of that I had 10 years trying to sell the property. I had someone who wanted to do a drywall warehouse, but it wasn't zoned. It was zoned for apartments. No one ever told me it was a zoning change. Then when I hired Chris Woods to do apartments, it changed again without notice. Flex Warehouse is one of the biggest growing commercial spaces throughout the county right now. It's a permitted use. The elevations of the buildings, I think, are very attractive.
Right, we're not just showing typical buildings.
Right. This, and it's not warehouse space. It is flex warehouse where a lot of people can't afford their own, spaces. They need a vehicle. It's different bays. It'll have office. It'll have plumbing options going in. Across the street from a 267-lot subdivision that I built in Lincoln's on the corner of Pavement and Pleasant, Cross Creek, the Montani family, Uniland, bought and zoned commercial industrial uses the property across the street. It sat vacant for over 22 years.
With the road?
With the roads, everything. And their building now, they have a client. I think our product is a lot nicer. But take a look at how much is being built. It's being built throughout the county. It's a permitted use, and it's not a warehouse. It's a flex warehouse. It creates jobs. It creates jobs. Okay.
It's not a big distribution facility like Amazon where you got trucks coming in on 24/7. That's what
I don't think there's any distribution. I don't think there's any distribution.
But I want to address a couple points too. The first thing that really is the most important point here is this was rezoned by the town board to this district. And at the time, we opposed it. We tried to get them to switch back, and we were told the town needs industrial land. You know, we have to have industrial land. So, I mean, this had nothing to do with Mr. Lasky. Again, his original intention was to build this as residential. Then his intention was to do it as multifamily. Then in the end, and again, without his consent, and he would have been worth a lot more, it got rezoned to this. Well, Mr. Kayser said last time, and I understand why he said it. He said, maybe you can come up with a better use. But the point is, we looked at it again, the uses that are otherwise permitted are more intensive or offices. And there's just no demand for office space at that particular location. Obviously, we'll have to work through SEAKER. We get that. We understand that. In terms of impacts because of the scenic highway, I mean, let's face it, drive up and down 219 and you see every use imagined.
Just let me clarify. I'm not an attorney.
It's okay.
I defer to the two of you on the legal expertise. But to me, during COVID, I had little to do during bad weather but sit at home and read the 84 obituary type pages, you know, the actual people law, and look at all the schedules and stuff like that. And in fact, there is a special schedule for seating byways. And
right, it reduces the pressure.
Not necessarily. The criteria are within 200 feet or bordering scenic byway. Now, the 219 is a scenic byway from Mile Strip to 28.
Okay.
And then one of the scenic byway proceeds up 28.
Right.
But that portion of the 219 between Mile Strip and 28 is a scenic byway. And the criteria, if I remember them correctly, which surprisingly, I think at 80 I still do, is that if the property is within 200 feet or is visible from the scenic byway, which it is, which I did double check, and I did make sure the OPCD.
Did you say visible or invisible?
No, visible.
Invisible, no problem. No problem. But also, it says within that code, it not only can it be seen, but it would be within the viewshed from outside the scenic byway. So essentially, you're not looking at only the scenic byway from here's the byway I'm looking out, but you're looking at someone in that corner of the room, and does this change their viewshed of the scenic byway that runs in front of the table? I think if you read carefully, you'll find it in there.
Doesn't make a difference. No, I know exactly what it is. Let me answer, please.
Sure.
And I read the SEAKER regulations all the time. I deal with my head. It results in a reduced threshold. It's a reduced threshold for a commercial project. In order to be a type one action in a municipality the size of Orchard Park, 250,000 square feet of commercial. We have four buildings that are approximately 11,000.
Okay, that.
I didn't get a chance to finish.
Okay, go ahead.
We have four buildings that are 11,000 square feet approximately. So if we exceeded 1/4 of 250,000 square feet, you're exactly right. It would be a type one action. It doesn't make it a type one action automatically. It reduces the thresholds. And we don't cross that threshold.
Okay. But the town also has the option to designate any particular property by standard as a type one action. That I read very clearly.
Only if you're not a local law.
Pardon?
Only if there's a local law that states that in effect.
I've been told that. We'll need to know more.
But,
and that was litigated against the town of Orchard Park in Miranda versus the town of Orchard Park. Which we won.
Equally so, you know, even if we went with unlisted, we can still do scoping under unlisted.
Yeah, you can still consider it, of course. Yeah, of course.
So, what I'm saying.
You can still do a coordinator review, sure.
Obviously, we have to do.
Right.
But the long and the short is that this would get very, very, very close scrutiny. And I appreciate the notion that you have the land for almost a generation here.
But I've also tried to sell it for well over 10 years with no real takers in sight. And basically, I plan on building these units, partnering with Kovacs Construction, who has built similar units and are doing very well with it. It's a growing industry. My attorney is representing a unilateral deal on a lot of the legal acquisition points. And we believe it's a great use that creates jobs. Line of sight from the 219 amendment, going away from Buffalo South, you can't see the door. Going the other way, you're on a curvature. And if you run a line of sight, you're not seeing the first 200 feet.
I did.
Okay, so.
I put a marker.
Okay, so I go on a long time and I thought about a lot of issues. So we don't mind the review. We don't mind the scrutiny. We think I want it in an attractive project. We want to own it and lease it. Okay, that. So the owner, who's owned it a long time and has a history of building, I never gave up on Pleasant Acres West, despite economies and you know, right. Yes, and I put my own building company to finish it up, and I hope the town is happy with the quality of
house. Tenants are happy. And in fact, the folks that did come up once before, I don't know if it was for a project that you proposed or someone else, but the folks on Conway Circle, which you created, which was a very, very desirable street, showed up in large numbers in the municipal building, very angry.
It was the apartment proposed by that.
It was after the apartment, right? Which wouldn't have been a bad thing, but there were some water issues.
There were weapon issues in that.
But, you know, this would be a...
I know, without naming anyone, one of those people asked the buyer for the very use that I'm doing. He wanted to put his own business. I told him the town's not really in favor, but we believe it's a great use. And I think the town will be proud of it. So we ask, please move it along. Yes, seek a review and this, you know, and like to see it move rather than, I don't have another 22
years. I think what I'm trying to do is to say that though you are used to a long-term project,
yes,
certainly will we know from Pleasant Acres West.
If he does that again, he'll be 97.
He'll be 97. I'll be well past that. So, but be aware of that. This is a very complex.
99.
And the expectations will be very, very high.
And we understand it too. And again, if you look at the zoning district, this is the problem. And, you know, we've looked at extensively. What else is permitted or made this feasible? I mean, it's very few uses, and most of them are more intensive.
Did you get the renderings, by the way?
Yeah, the renderings are attached to my letter.
No, I'm already over
it. No, the renderings are there. And I provided everyone with it.
Yeah, we want you to see what it looks like.
We upgraded these renderings based on input and on it in Orchard Park.
Put windows
and we put windows, and make stone base. We have a residential style roof.
I have a question for Mr. Hopkins.
Sure.
Can you talk about looking at the zoning and imagining any use other than flex warehouse,
right?
What specific uses did you consider and why were they rejected?
Well, so we consider always, I mean, if we were here 15 years ago, this would be office. It would. There's just no demand for office anymore. That's true everywhere in Western North, but not the nation.
Were there any other potential uses that you considered?
Well, I mean, if you look at
why were they rejected?
Hotels and motels are allowed. That's not good location for a hotel or motel.
Any hotel.
Banks are allowed. It's not a good location for a bank.
And then it also allows some like industrial uses, assembly, testing, and calibration of components. I mean, true, what I would call true ore manufacturing. That would be, I think, a much more intensive and viewed as a much less favorable use there.
Would there be sufficient acreages?
No.
Acreage for what I'm going to call a light manufacturing building that would have sufficient value in the manufacturing process?
Yeah, the problem is nowadays, Mr. Bennett, they want bigger footprints. You know, I have a client that has a big one in Lancaster. They're doing well and they're moving to Albany because they can get a much, just that size limitation, you don't get those national companies, not big. You know, they want the loading dock facilities, they have a lot of employees.
What's the acreage?
3 acres.
3 acres,
much more.
What, once it, I spent 10 years with Tom, Greg Hill, Peterson, trying to market the property. And in my own internal circles, reached out to everybody. There were and are no takers.
So the single biggest reason is that it's too small?
Yeah, I mean, as far as like other more tech,
well,
yeah.
Too small and not a great location.
No, limited access.
But for the use intended, it's a great location. It's 2 minutes from East Westwood. It's accessible, you know, to the local.
And I do think it's important to note again, it's not this board, you didn't move it, the town rezoned it.
Well, I think we're here discussing this project in a concept review, so we all know that those specific actions going to happen tonight.
Right.
I think the chairman is not necessarily disqualifying this project as
right.
Something that would never happen, but rather just making sure that as a developer you're aware that it's going to come under scrutiny. So Mr. Lasky, you asked us what we can do to make it move forward. Well, I don't think any action needs to be taken on our part to move forward. You have a project, let's get on the regular agenda and see what true scrutiny.
Being filed a site plan application, yeah. We'll be able to start seeing.
Okay, let's start the process and let's get to see how it goes and how it evolves. You make, Mr. Hopkins makes good points on your behalf and you present compelling arguments.
I'm open to suggestions,
right.
But it's not like I'm developing it and selling it.
Right.
I'm developing it and building it. And as long as I'm in town, I'm going to buy it. But I have 4 kids that, you know, that I'm playing for them, and I would like to do this project. You know, I would take pride.
So we look forward to seeing.
Yeah, and Mr. Kaminsky knows I try to do nice things.
And Mr. Batten's comment is a good one. If this was a bigger site, we would probably do one building and look for a single tenant dock. I don't know if that would be viewed better by the neighborhood, but it would be.
Can I ask? It's a good point.
You know, the area is generally undergoing very, very heavy medical development.
Right.
And my understanding is there are projects in the offing that would make that even more intense.
Yeah, again, and there's someone here that might be more of an expert on the board, but I work with a lot of healthcare users and developers and generally have done a bunch of enamors. What I'm seeing now is they want bigger buildings, multiple practices, and they like to congregate. So it's tough to get a standalone, you know, physician group that's going to occupy that space.
It would be a standalone imaging center or something that's intensive in terms of its. The space utilization based on the footprint.
Right.
If those facilities do exist,
right.
Standalone imaging centers,
yeah,
and that would be, I'm not in the field,
right,
you mentioned it, but I'm aware of the business models,
right.
And that is a trend towards standalone imaging.
Right. But and again, it has been, but it really has been actively marketed for 10 years. But I think they probably, not that it could never occur, but it hasn't occurred in 10 years. You know, what are we to do?
Well, it took a long time for something to happen where all these is.
Yeah. But that's a difficult site. Topography and floodplains and floodways.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So yeah, we'll file a site for that feature.
Yeah,
we know we have challenges ahead of us. You made them well aware, us well aware. We'll work with you as we proceed.
And I think, you know, with very great credit to Mr. Lasky's project there, he put up a very good project. He attracted a lot of people. He
the environment is good, and they're very dedicated to keeping, you know, their environment attractive. And
thank you. Everyone have a great evening.
Thank you.
Motion adjourned.
I'll check on that.
Information.
Have a good evening.
Students, come on up.
Thank you.
Some more show.